The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Good Monday. We have Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, coming up. We have plenty of space on today's show, which is great because I'm torn. The story of the weekend was the Cardinals beating the Falcons or Arizona State winning in dramatic fashion with Jaden Daniels over Washington State. And I'm leaning towards the college end because ASU is in first place in the Pac-12 South. Granted, there's three other teams with them. But they play at Utah this Saturday. In fact, we're taking the show there. I'm going to do a pop-up podcast somewhere Friday in Salt Lake City. Eric is flying up on Saturday. It's supposed to be cold and rainy, and I wish it would just snow to see you down there on the sidelines and have you complain.
It's supposed to snow on Sunday morning, I've been told.
Sunday morning.
Right.
But you're going to be out there Saturday night.
Correct.
Freezing.
Correct.
Which is what we want. I don't see you yet, by the way, but Jared's got it. But I like hearing your voice. So
okay, I'm you're sure going to see me here really soon.
I know. You're
I thought I set it up correctly, but clearly I didn't.
Yeah, it's all new here. Something.
I did. Okay, I did. I just did something wrong. But you can probably see me right about.
Yeah, there you are
now.
Yeah.
So you're getting out before the snow hits. I am not.
No, that's true. I am not one to sit around much after games are done. That's the way it works. Just get me in, get me out. Tim Hovick at Santan Ford said, you need to come to Utah. And I said, why, of course. So we're going up together, actually, on Friday. So thanks to Santan Ford and Tim Hovick. And we'll be with what I think is going to be a great story in ASU beating Washington State. Now, that doesn't mean Utah.
Let me interrupt real quick. I was thinking about you on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I had to just interject this.
Sure.
Because, as you know, I do not have the conference network, so I was over at a friend's house as the game was winding down.
Right.
And one of my other friends has some sort of way, I think she has Cox at her house, but she has it on her phone too, so she has the app. So five of us were huddled around her iPhone watching the end of Arizona State, Washington State.
Was it like this?
It was like, it was like we set her phone up and we kind of were huddled around
campfire.
The bar area watching Jaden Daniels run.
There he goes.
Touchdown run. So let's shout out to DirecTV and the Conference Network for making it just that difficult to watch a great game. So continue.
So, you know, the Pac-12 network's reach is like 15 million homes, whereas ESPN is over 80 million. And Fox is over 120 million. And yet, this Saturday's game, which it's at a good time slot. 3 in the afternoon, Arizona, they're going to put it on Pac-12 Network. And then the UCLA game, they're putting on the Pac-12 Network. I know Ray and ASU is behind the Pac-12 Network, and Dr. Crow in particular. And I believe Utah and Oregon State are the other two schools that have a tie-in on the Pac-12 Network that from a leadership standpoint, but man, you're talking like number 15 against number 17, and that game's on Pac-12 Network. So that's why we're going, because not many people are going to be able to see it, and Eric will be able to shoot it, and we'll have some fun, and we'll be up there for that. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. And that is with life insurance. Guys, we're coming to the middle of October. The year is almost over. And I've been sitting here every week reminding you about your life insurance or taking care of your financial situation. You know, it's as simple as you might have left a job and you might have had a 401k sitting at that job and you haven't rolled it over yet and you've let it sit there for years, because I run across people that do that. They just get busy and they don't want to take the time. They think it's a hassle. So it's a 401k. It's earning nothing really for you. So get it rolled over, and you can do that with Sagicor Now. Just log on and get your free quote, whether it's on life insurance or other financial services like your 401k. You can do that at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Michael Fabiano here in a few minutes. So I'll save the Cardinals for the next segment because, the game on Saturday, when you watch a Pac-12 network game, they have like the same four sponsors over and over and over. And it's fine. We have the same sponsors here on what we do. It's great that people want to be part of what we do. But when you're watching a football game and it's the same spot over and over and over, that's kind of hard for me to sit through, one. Two, the Washington State game, it wasn't like they played a clean football game either. Herm Edwards, for those of you that didn't like the hire, and for those of you, and I still believe there's some, because they've said, yeah, I haven't gone back since they did Todd Graham wrong, I would say get over it. Life is too short and you should enjoy yourself. Friday, I went to the Hall of Fame luncheon at ASU. And it was held in the Santan Ford Plaza Suite. And it's an amazing facility that's been put together. Ray Anderson was gushing about it. And it's really nice to see people the day before a football game at a Sunsplash Stadium where everybody's excited. And there's a couple hundred people there and they're honoring names from the past. Mike Leake gets up on stage, the former Sun Devil pitcher who's with the Diamondbacks, and he gets choked up. He can barely make it through his speech and he only talked maybe for a couple of minutes, but it was still really nice. You know, there was a time in my run here in the Valley where I've seen ASU be really disjointed and dysfunctional from a front office standpoint. I mean, really dysfunctional. When Vontez and Dennis Erickson and Lisa Love were all here, man, oh man, what was going on? When Dirk didn't want to be here and he wanted out, the football program is just kind of meandering along and there's nothing interesting that's happening. And the basketball team is just blue dots on blue walls, winning 18, 19 games, struggling to get to the NIT. Now you walk on campus and you see new buildings because the old dumpy ones are finally being torn down. The people that have been there for years and years and years that say, well, this is just how it's always been, they're kind of having a new step about them. Like what Ray has done on campus, Ray Anderson, and just the way that Herm has walked in here in less than 2 years, it's been 22 months since Herm Edwards was hired, and most people hated the hire. Most people went immediately to, it should have been Kevin Sumlin, or a big established name, or Chip Kelly. How's that working out for UCLA right about now? Just asking. Most of you that went down that path did not want Herm Edwards here. I, on the other hand, said, I want Herm Edwards here. I think there's something smart about bringing in guys that have seen it, that have done it. You tell me how Ed Orgeron is working out at LSU. You don't always have to go get the fresh, shiny, new, young coordinator, as Dirk Cutter was. And you can go find the older coach who's just trying to keep doing his thing like Dennis Erickson, but you have to make sure that he's really into it. I don't think Dennis was. Or then you can go find the guy that will talk a really good game and get boosters excited in Todd Graham, and Todd has not been hired anywhere since he was let go. It's a fact. Or you can go get a guy who sat in a studio, who went to high school All-American games, who did the TV and media thing for years, that had coached in the NFL, that just shows up and there's no nonsense. Like, remember, Eric, do you remember when Mike Stoops was doing his nonsense at U of A and just jumping up and down and ranting and raving on the sidelines? Like, what is going on here? You're supposed to coach. Like, I can't see Herm doing that. When it was the Notre Dame game at home and Todd and Mike Norvell are getting into it and ASU's just having to hang on and I'm seeing it in full display and that happened. There's none of that. There is this calm, we've got this, they're kids, it's not an arrogance, we're going to have some fun here, this is not brain surgery. And so then you start to see kids that come here. Like, I hear these guys around town saying, oh, my gosh, Jaden Daniels. Yeah, Jaden Daniels, who wasn't paying any attention at all, was a big-time get. No offense to Manny Wilkins. It's an upgrade. It just is. And Manny was a fine quarterback in his own right. And if you want to go down the path of a great Sun Devil and all that stuff, that's fine. But he was not going to win you games that Jaden Daniels has won three times now this season, although I'm not counting the Cal game as much. But you look at Michigan State. It doesn't matter that Michigan State got their doors blown off. They got boat race this weekend. It doesn't matter. It's still a W. But you go to Michigan State, you go to Cal, and then at home with the game on the line, it's nut-cutting time, and it's Jaden Daniels doing what he's doing, the program is in infinitely better shape than it was, and the athletic department's in infinitely better shape. They're going to announce a naming rights deal today with a credit union to take over Wells Fargo Arena. Wells Fargo Arena has been a dump for a long time, and anybody who gets upset about that, you're not dealing with reality. It's needed to have not just a facelift, a total makeover. And so there's stuff happening when you walk around on campus of like, I didn't go to ASU. I didn't go there. But you walk around and say, wow, there's actually some enthusiasm. It doesn't matter that 49,000 fans showed up and there were 10,000 empty seats against Washington State. It doesn't matter. That's on the conference. That's on the Pac-12 leaving fans to hang out to dry by not announcing game times. You're not going to, most people cannot get their lives turned around in less than 2 weeks to come out to games. This is not the SEC. It just isn't. All right, so I'm going to get into the Cardinals on the other side and a few other things, and then Michael Fabiano as we roll on a Monday. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. So are the Cardinals any good, or have they played two really bad teams in the NFL? Very straightforward here. They've won two in a row. Are we jumping up and down today, or is it simply, come on, if Matt Bryant makes an extra point, who knows what happens, and Cincinnati is just god-awful too? And I'm one of those that feels like, you know what, just enjoy the moment. It's two wins and a season where they're not going to the playoffs this year, said he, maybe in December, they've won nine in a row. I'll eat my paper. I don't know. But they're not. They are fun to watch. They're frustrating to watch. They're not very good in certain positions. Like Atlanta Falcon wide receivers, tight ends as usual, running whatever position on offense are as open as Eric is to me. And Eric is probably, what are you, about 15 yards? Yep. Not even probably 10. 10 yards away?
Yeah, so, probably like 10 yards.
So there was no defense at times being played yesterday. And you were there. You took in yesterday's game in person. Should we get excited about two in a row?
Sure, we should.
Yeah.
They hadn't won a home game in almost a year. Let's get excited for a home win. Yeah, Matt Bryant shanked the extra point.
He cried, right?
But I don't know. But that's not a Cardinals problem. That's a Matt Bryant problem. So
the defense has allowed 171 points this year.
Not good.
The 49ers have allowed 64.
Good.
And they're undefeated. And so you look at the division where the Rams have now lost three games in a row. The Seahawks are pretty good. You know, I think Russell Wilson, to me, is the MVP of the league so far this season.
I'd agree. And I think the Rams have way too much talent to not bounce back. I mean, that's a team that played in the Super Bowl last year. So let's not write the ship on that them off.
So the Cardinals had eight penalties yesterday.
Uh-huh.
It was not a thing of beauty again.
No.
The Cincinnati game was not a thing of beauty.
Nope.
But there is something about Kyler Murray. We would agree on that.
And that's the thing,
there's
Brad.
There's something about him.
It's just, they're fun. The Cardinals are fun. I mean,
Chase Edmonds is fun.
And you wonder how Chase Edmonds wasn't utilized more last year, or do we need to give Cliff Kingsbury credit for, as we've been hearing the past few weeks, putting players in positions to make plays? Like David Johnson, he was a really good running back at one point. Now he's a really good wide receiver. Let's just call it what it is.
So I'll go back to my rant every August. Because here we are now in the middle of October, and what do you know? And yeah, it's bad teams. So you have to take that into account.
1-11.
But what do you... Yeah, right. So what do you know? Because they've actually had some reps, and a lot of reps, and a lot of game speed, things have started to get better. And so it takes, like, the month of September is almost like training camp all over again.
That's a great point.
Because you're watching what they're doing now. And look, are they going to do the same thing against the Giants this week? They probably should. Like, Kyler can keep them in games. All the jumping off sides, like Chandler and Terrell, the first series yesterday, like, what is going on here?
Right.
You guys are the veterans, you know?
It would be cool, though, if they beat the Giants and then they had that big Thursday night Halloween game against the Niners coming off three straight wins. I mean,
they have the Saints, too.
Oh, the Saints. And yeah.
So they have the Giants at the Giants at the Saints, and then that Thursday night game.
My bad.
No, you're good. You're good.
Yeah. So they probably won't be on a 4-game win streak, but
the Saints are not. The Saints are not world beaters right now. They're winning games, 9-6? Mm-hmm. They're not putting up a lot of points without Drew Brees. And I just look at them and say, if Kyler can get 340 and 3 touchdowns every week, it doesn't matter how lousy the other team is. They're going to be in some games.
It's crazy to think, Brad. I was talking to Jess Root, who I usually sit next to. He does Cards Wire for USA Today. He's really an intellectual, smart guy about the Cardinals.
Yeah.
We were reflecting back on the fact that Sam Bradford was the quarterback last year. I mean, you have two complete polar opposites when you have Sam Bradford and Kyler Murray. They play the same position. That's pretty much where the comparisons stop on those two.
You have to wonder a year ago, or no, 2 years ago, when it was the end of Carson, and we all knew that it was the end of Carson. Carson was going to be the warrior, and he was going to stand in there, and he was going to say all the right things. But you're looking at it saying, okay, this team's old. And David Johnson is getting used a ton, and he was hurt that year, too.
Yep.
So I'm sitting here saying the tread is coming off the tire on David Johnson. Well, the tread's not going to come off of him if they're going to use him in space like they're doing now.
And if Chase Edmonds continues to produce.
If Chase Edmonds does what he's going
to
do.
Yeah, you're going to be able to save some miles on DJ.
Okay, so Patrick Peterson comes back, which should help.
Definitely will.
You would think. And Adam Schefter reported last week that teams are calling the Cardinals about trading for Patrick Peterson. I myself look at it and say, I would trade Patrick Peterson if it's going to help me long-term in the future.
Of course.
Right? I mean,
you
have to
do that. Because Byron Murphy looks like he's going to be a very good player.
But is he as physical as Patrick Peterson?
No, but Patrick Peterson's an elite cornerback.
Own.
Yeah.
So if
I'm just saying, projecting forward, Byron Murphy has a chance to be a really good player. He's already a good player.
But if you're sitting there and a team comes at you with a 1 and a 2, and you know that you're going to have to sit there and put up with some of the stuff that we're seeing here. If Robert Alford's not going to be back, you're going to watch a team that is letting go of a Pro Bowl player who, by the way, has had some diva in him the last couple of years. Let's be very clear about that. And is he going to be all in and sitting through another couple years of rebuilding? And so, to me...
And he's not young. He's not old, but he's not young.
But if you can get a 1 and a 2 or a player and a 1... At this point, it's like how John Lynch nosedived the 49ers. Johnny knows, and I call him Johnny because I've known him forever, but he ran them right into the ground in every draft John has taken linemen. And so the 49ers are just killing people now.
Yep.
And they made the Garoppolo deal too. But so if you're Steve Keim and you're sitting here looking at this team, okay, you have a 17-year vet who's at the end of the run. He's not going to be here for his 20th year in all likelihood, or his 19th year when the team should be able to compete. I'm looking at this as the bigger play. Like, I'm not saying you trade Larry. I'm not saying you trade Suggs. What I am saying is you got to find those guys to replace them at some point. They tried with Crabtree. It didn't work out. Are there other receivers that could be out there because they have not really replaced that spot? Or are you fine going on with the young guys?
Yeah, no one has picked up Michael Crabtree.
And no one's picked up Michael Crabtree.
That's pretty telling.
So that whole deal, like, if I go through the roster and J.R. Sweezy comes in, J.R. Sweezy's probably not going to be here when they are a team that is ready to make a run. And so that is why you take those extra picks now and say, hey, guess what? We're not going to be the number one overall pick this year, but we're going to be somewhere in the top 10, top 15. And if we have a second or third pick, we can go get two linemen and plug them in.
The Colts did the same thing. They just waited a couple years too long.
They waited too long. Well, like DJ Humphreys is going to be due a boatload of money.
He's another one.
And is he worth it?
You've got to make a decision on
that. Is he worth it? And so what I don't want is, this is a lot of fun, and hey, look at the TV ratings, and we're winning some games. And it's like, guys, look at your roster top to bottom here. If you think you're 2 years away, which realistically, they may be a year away from a wild card push.
I don't think so. Not in the NFC West. I think they're a couple strides behind those other teams.
Okay, so if you're a couple strides behind those teams, then you have to protect your investment in Kyler. I loved it. What was it? The I think it was the second series where he just rolled to the right and just fell to the ground. Like, oh, somebody shot him with an arrow.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to take any hits.
Right.
Right. So
no turnovers, no interceptions, didn't get sacked yesterday.
No. And they should beat the Giants. In my opinion, it doesn't matter. It's 10 a.m. on the road, East Coast. He's not laid an egg.
Well, I mean, the first three quarters against the Lions,
he was pretty bad. Okay, but it's...
He gets a pass. It's his first NFL game.
So, well, and I watched the Giants the other night against the Patriots. They weren't any good.
Nothing special.
No. All right. Fabiano's coming up next. We got a break here. Michael Fabiano on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now we turn our attention to Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst, NFL media, member of the Hall of Fame for the best at what he does in fantasy sports. He joins us, of course, with the NFL Network. He is a Cowboy fan. So today he has to explain right off the top, how in God's green earth do you lose to the Jets? No, actually, I do want to know. How do you lose to the Jets, actually? I do want to start with that.
I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that one. I mean, different Jets team with Sam Darnold. I mean, keep in mind, you know, it was Trevor Siemian and Luke Falk. I mean, this offense, much better with Sam Darnold under center, who, oh, by the way, is a very good waiver wire pickup because the schedule is really good for him throughout the course of the season, although this week against New England, you don't want to start him, but pick him up off the waiver wire. Listen, the Cowboys are pretenders, and until they prove otherwise, that's exactly what they are. For 3 weeks, we beat on bad teams. And the last 3 weeks, we lost to two good teams and another team that we have no business losing to. It's frustrating. And then the Yankees lost last night in extra innings. So I'm a little salty, I guess.
No, you sound really angry. You sound just like somebody ran away with your dog or something, Michael.
It was a tough night, but hopefully better things are on the horizon for both of those teams.
All right, let's get right in the mailbag because there's a lot of questions. Todd Gurley, Josh Gordon, you know, let's just start with Todd Gurley. What are you doing here with Todd Gurley? What do you do?
You're hoping that that quad injury is not serious, and from what I've heard from our NFL insider Ian Rappaport, he has a chance to play this week against Atlanta, which would be great because Atlanta's defense has been just awful this season. So the issue here is that the entire Rams offense is sort of a mess right now. I mean, Jared Goff looks bad. Robert Woods didn't catch a pass yesterday. And even Cooper Kupp was held in check. So as great as things were offensively for the Rams last season, right now, this offense has some questions that needs to be answered. I think this is a get-right game, though, against Atlanta. Their defense, as I mentioned, has not been very good. But keep tabs on Gurley's status, and hopefully he'll be able to be back this week and what is a really good matchup.
What do you do with Josh Gordon?
I mean, I'm not cutting him. I'm going to wait and see what happens with the knee. It didn't seem like it was a major concern. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he's going to miss time, we'll see. But he hasn't really been producing from a fantasy perspective, but he does have Tom Brady throwing him the football. And I feel like if there's a player you're thinking about dropping, you should consider whether or not he will be immediately picked up by another team if you do, in fact, put him on waivers. Now, if you have depth at wide receiver and you just don't need him, that's one thing. But I think Gordon's still a player that I'd rather hold on to and see what happens with this knee situation.
So we're coming up to week 7, Michael, and we're talking with Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst for NFL Media, as always the Hall of Famer. We're almost halfway through. Who are you ready to just say, enough? I've given this guy enough time, enough chances. I don't care what his name recognition is. I'm done with him. I'm just finished. You know, you're halfway through your season, and you keep saying this is the week, and it's not. Who are some guys you're just willing to walk away from or say it's not happening for them?
I'm not going to walk away from Joe Mixon because I drafted him in the second round, but, I mean, he's not averaging 4 yards a carry. The Bengals are throwing the ball 70% of the time, and that offensive line is terrible. So where Mixon was once like a must-start guy, I think you got to play the matchups with him. O.J. Howard is someone I'm walking away from completely, although it's tough because tight end is so thin, yeah. You know, and everyone can't play the Cardinals every week. I mean, it is unbelievable how many points they're giving. Only Tyler Eifert didn't put up a monster stat line against them, and Andy Dalton threw a ball behind him in the end zone, would have been a touchdown. So Austin Hooper, whew, what a game he had, but Yeah, O.J. Howard, maybe you can't cut him because there's just nothing on the waiver wire. Tampa Bay does have a bye coming up this week, though. He is certainly a player that I have sort of cut ties with. Baker Mayfield, too. I mean, he had a decent fantasy performance yesterday, but got a little bit banged up, and he's still turning the ball over too much. So if you need that roster spot, because Cleveland is, I believe, on a bye this week, I would not be surprised if I started to see Baker Mayfield get dropped in some leagues here over the next couple of days.
Okay, what do you do with Kansas City Chief players?
So it's a different scenario now, right? Because earlier in the season, without Tyreek, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, and Mecole Hardman, their floors were low. But, I mean, the potential in that offense had them as potential starters, wide receiver twos, flexes, whatever. Now that Tyreek is back, I mean, the targets are a little bit more thin. Travis Kelce's been a disappointment from a fantasy perspective this season, too. I mean, look at the numbers. This guy was drafted in the top of the second round and hasn't really earned that from a statistical perspective. But right now, I think it's pretty clear you're starting Tyreek every week. Kelce is an obvious starter, despite the fact that he hasn't put up great numbers. And the rest of those wide receivers, until Sammy Watkins comes back, are very hard to trust. And even Watkins, when he's back to 100%, he was a bit unreliable, even with Hill on the sidelines. So the backfield is also a concern, because 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, I should say, it was Damian Williams,
yep,
who basically dominated the touches and dominated the snaps. And LeSean McCoy had two touches. And then yesterday, it was McCoy. But no one really scored a lot of points, and Darrell Williams was in the mix as well. He had a long catch, and Damian Williams had a touchdown catch. So for as explosive as that Chiefs offense is, it's a bit confusing outside of those top three players.
Well, you got to throw Kareem Hunt in there down the road, right? Was it week 10, I think?
Well, he plays for the Browns, so that will be a situation
I'm sorry.
Watch with Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb, you're right. You're right,
right. Yep.
Yeah, but Kareem Hunt's coming back. I went from Kansas City to Cleveland. Fill me in on Kareem Hunt, because I'm getting questions about Kareem Hunt and what's your view on him.
So Nick Chubb is playing so well right now. I don't see them taking that featured role from him. Will Kareem Hunt come in and potentially be a pass catcher, maybe get utilized on third downs? I mean, sure, he's a playmaker, and the Browns are struggling right now. This is an offense that needs playmakers. So Kareem Hunt will have a role if you expect him to, you know, usurp Chubb or become the guy he was in Kansas City. I don't expect that at all. And we're still a couple of weeks away from seeing Kareem Hunt on a football field, and he hasn't played football for a while.
Yeah.
So in a 10-team league, I don't know that he's someone you need to pick up immediately. Maybe in a 12-team league, you stash him. But you have to be stashing him with the knowledge that unless Nick Chubb gets hurt, Kareem Hunt is going to be playing second fiddle in that backfield.
Before I get you out of here, Michael, Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson? What do you do? Do you just do you keep both?
Trade one of them.
Do you?
You know I love Kyler, but Russell Wilson is playing at an MVP level right now. And Russell has always sort of been a second-half fantasy quarterback. This season, that hasn't been the case. He's been awesome. It sucks that he lost Will Disley. That stinks for fantasy owners, too, because he had been one of the better tight ends in fantasy football. It makes a thin position even thinner. But I've got to go with Russell. But when you have two quarterbacks at that level,
yeah,
especially with the guys that we've lost, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees has been out for a while. Jared Goff is, I mean, not Jared Goff that we saw in 2018. Try to make trades. I don't like to keep really valuable players on my bench because my starting lineup is so jacked that I simply can't play them. So look to make a trade. Try to trade one of those two players. I would prefer to trade Kyler, although I like him this week in a really good matchup against the Giants. You know, the schedule gets a little bit tougher down the stretch, but Russell is Russell. So Russell Wilson this week, and I would honestly try to trade Kyler.
Last question. We'll get you out of here. A lot of questions about what to do with Cam Newton and Kyle Allen in Carolina.
So at this point, Cam is on the waiver wire in most of my leagues, unless they're deeper leagues. But I don't know that Carolina will continue to roll with Kyle Allen once Cam Newton is healthy. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Carolina basically lets Cam know, get back to 100%. Take your time. Get back to get back to Superman status, because he's been playing like Clark Kent, even dating back to the end of last season. And when he's available to come back, then they make a decision. I'm not Ron Rivera. I would think Cam would end up being the quarterback once he's healthy. But you could also see a Dak Prescott, Tony Romo scenario where the young guy comes in, is playing well, the team is winning, and then when the veteran is healthy, he sits on the bench. I don't know that that would be the case for Cam Newton. I mean, he's the face of that franchise. But Cam and Kyle Allen at this point, not really rosterable in shallow leagues, because both of those players are on a bye, and Cam's return to action at this point is really a question mark.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight, as always, Michael. Thanks.
All right, take care.
There's Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL Media. Appreciate his time, as always, the Hall of Famer. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, so we've been in and out over the last few months because of these knees, right? And so I've had some people have said, I've noticed on the TV show that you have a new face and new voice. And like, I have not introduced Sandy Charles. So Sandy is new. She's not shiny new. She's been on the air for about a month and a half. Yeah? Yeah? Are you nervous? You look...
I'm not nervous. Yes, I'm a little nervous.
Why?
I didn't know what to expect.
Look, you're on, how many places are you on?
Six.
So you're like, so let's do this. MLB Network, mm-hmm. NHL Network.
I'm not on with NHL Network, but MLB Network owns NHL Network.
And MLB Network owns NHL Network, so occasionally mm-hmm. you go over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you do a high school show, Prep Spotlight.
Yeah.
You do stuff for AIA Radio. Mm-hmm. That's four. You're here. That's five. Where's the sixth?
AZ Sports. So the radio, 98.7
FM. Oh, them. So you're on over there, too.
Yeah.
So what do you like most? Which place?
Here. I love Mondays.
There you
Mondays
go.
Mondays are my favorite.
That's
no,
the right
but really,
answer.
They are.
Yeah?
Yeah. I really look forward to Mondays. I love the culture. I love what you've built. I love the support system, even though I haven't been here that long. Everyone's been
We have no support system.
There is
what are you
such
talking
a
about?
Support system.
What are you
system?
Talking about? You nuts?
And the communication has been impeccable. Eric's done a great job. Jordan, everyone's done a great job.
Not me.
No, every... No,
far be it for me to communicate.
I've
been a little loopy. What is your favorite sport to cover?
That's really hard. I love prep sports and Friday Night Lights, being with the kids and how humble and excited they are about football and life is my favorite. And I also absolutely love college basketball. Of course, I have to love baseball. I cover it.
Why do you love college basketball?
I love the pace of it. I love the quickness until it's about 2 minutes into the game, and then at the end of the game,
timeout. See, you do know your stuff. That's very true.
And that is like, oh no, we're going to be here 2 hours. But I love the pace. I love the passion. It's what the NBA used to be.
Yeah. If you could design a perfect job, what would it be?
Oh, I have it.
There you go. See, no. This is a pro. This is such a pro right here.
Everything,
that's good.
Everything I've prayed for and dreamed about, and that passion and that desire in my heart that I wanted as a little girl, that's all coming true.
Where'd you grow up?
Here, Phoenix.
And where'd you go to high school?
Apollo High School.
And Apollo was good or not good in sports?
So good. We were good in football. We were good in volleyball. Cheer, won state and everything. They were fantastic.
What'd you do in high school?
I was varsity volleyball.
Outside hitter?
Freshman. Yep, outside hitter.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. I did track. I was on varsity that. I was on varsity
What'd you run?
Cheer. I was the 60. Wait, I might be messing it up, because when I went, it was totally different. The dash, 60-yard dash.
60-yard dash.
Yeah.
50-yard dash, 60-yard dash, whatever. So you were fast.
Yeah, and I did high jump.
So why'd you stop?
I hate to run.
Jeez. That's a good answer.
I hate running.
What attracted you to do sports?
My dad is the reason that I got into sports. I have five brothers, and we would travel everywhere following the Yankees, a huge Yankees fan, but also he went to the Olympics and the Super Bowl. So my dad is very into sports, season tickets to the Suns, to the Cardinals. Even when Cardinals were at Sun Devil Stadium, we were going there.
Wow.
So
you were baking.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you told him that this is what you wanted to do, There was no, what are you thinking?
Oh, that was 100%. He's a lawyer. He's very analytical, very brain smart. And then he's like, that doesn't make sense. How are you going to make a living? And I showed him, and this is.
Somehow we do.
Exactly.
I don't know, but we do.
Yeah.
We figure it out.
Yep.
So away from sports, what do you do? What do you enjoy doing? What are some of your honors?
I do work 7 days a week. My one day off, which would be Sunday, I volunteer at a yoga studio, and it's just my way to get out and to get zen and just kind of refocus.
You volunteer at a yoga studio, so walk me through. Okay, I volunteer at a yoga studio. What do you do volunteering at a yoga studio? Like, you could volunteer like at an animal shelter, and I got it, a yoga studio.
That I was actually signing up to volunteer at an animal shelter today, Home for Good. Home for Good is where I want to work. But I clean the studio. I do the laundry.
Wow.
I check everyone in.
That's
so
your
that's
thing.
My Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What is your career goal? Do you know?
I'm honestly doing it.
You're
hosting,
doing it.
Hosting a sports show and sideline reporting, which I do, is that's really what I want. And to tell these stories and to sit with these athletes, because they are more than a number. They're more than who they are on the field. So who are they? They're not robots. Yes, I know you dominate on the field, whether that's a football or court or the baseball field, the baseball diamond. You're a person. Mm-hmm. Who are you? Tell me. So I love those stories.
So we are going to start doing something that this is my interest in talking with Sandy, and it's about mental health. And actually, it's deep dive. Mental health is just part of it. If you want to walk through talking the starting the conversation and what we're going to be working on.
So mental health is so important. It's just as important as getting to the gym, but it's also just as important as what you put in your body. And there's a stigma around it that we shouldn't talk about mental health, but it's so important. And even myself in the last 2 years, I've had to deal with mental stuff and my brain not, I've had brain fog from mold poisoning, which has really infected my life.
Wow.
And you don't realize how much my brain affects everything. And so me personally having to go through that, this is something that hit home that everyone struggles with, and everyone, mm-hmm. our brain is so important. And I feel like it's kind of pushed to the side a lot of times because we're like, oh, we got to look fit and be fit. No, brain first, mental health first, emotions first, think positive. And so we're going to be telling those stories and hopefully connecting with everyone. Hopefully we can start the conversation that this is normal to want help, to need help, and it's okay to get help.
Yeah, and tie it in on sports because we see it in high school athletes and mm-hmm. college and pro. This is Sandy Charles. She is a jewel, and we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. It's an honor.
See, this was not that hard.
It wasn't.
This is not brain surgery.
My hands were sweating. They're
not
anymore.
I know. Hey, get in here. All right. Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing or Everything, depending on the day, and Jared Nielsen, our Chairman of the Board. Have yourself a great Monday.